missions to Mars, driverless cars, AI chatbots, feels like we're already living in the future. Well, Robinhood is built for the future of trading. Robinhood's intuitive design makes trading seamless. Spot opportunities and take control of your trades with tools like screeners, simulated returns, and strategy builder. On Robinhood, traders have access to hundreds of popular stocks and ETFs 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, so you can keep up with today's fast-paced markets. You can now even trade stocks and crypto all in one place with the new desktop platform, Robinhood Legend. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer. Trading during extended hours involves additional risks. Cryptocurrency services are offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince, Sean Angle, producing our show. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. A little soggy out there, George, here in the Northeast. But, love all our mothers. And, some people think that payday sometimes, they call that Mother's Day because you pay off every mother that you owe. But today is actual Mother's Day. And, happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Paying off. I've never heard that saying before.
I had a buddy at work. He used to payday. He always said, it's Mother's Day. Got to pay every mother that I owe.
Yeah, I think he probably wants to add another word to that.
Yes. But, yes.
Yeah, never heard that before. Mm-hmm. Never heard that before. Paying off every mother. All right. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Certainly to my mom, which I'll be going to later on today, and my wife, of course, the mother of my two daughters, who's upstairs probably getting my youngest daughter ready for a soccer game today, Joe. And I mean, I always thought Mother's Day was sacred for these kind of sports. Now, they always cancel the games. And my daughter still has a youth soccer game, and mm-hmm. it's an outdoor game, and it's a lousy
Crazy.
Day.
Yeah.
It is. What it's a. I mean, I know it's spring here; it's May 12th, but it is cold, rainy. It's about 48 degrees, I think, out there. A little windy. And it's on an open field too. Man, I'm glad I don't have to go to this because it would be cold, man. I am not going to miss this at all, but I am surprised, and I'm wondering if I'm going to get a text eventually saying this it's canceled because I think Mother's Day should be sacred. I know Father's Week gets screwed on Father's Day because they figure we like sports, so they play all sorts of games on Father's Day, but I'm surprised this game's today.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, when my kid was playing Little League Baseball, Mother's Day, there were no games scheduled at all. But Father's Day, like you mentioned, Father's Day, there were games scheduled. So, and I don't see how your daughter's going to be able to play on the soggy field. But like you said, there's been so much rain here in the Northeast, over the past few weeks that I'm sure there's lots of games that have to be made up.
I don't know if they will make them up. This is not a highly competitive league or anything. I don't even know if they keep score during these games. So I honestly don't. I've been to a few of them. I don't see a score somewhere. So I don't know if they'll make them up. They rained out last week, but last week it was monsooning on Sunday. They had no choice. As I look out my window now, it is just misting. The game's in 3 hours. But as you said, the field would be soggy and all muddy. It would not. Like I said, I am very happy to do this show because I wouldn't want to be on that field.
Yeah, I hear you. And kudos.
Sorry, honey.
Yeah,
enjoy.
I like it. On Mother's Day, you're sending your wife out into the rain.
I am not sending my wife out anywhere. I am working. Okay?
Yeah.
Nothing I can do.
I appreciate you being here. So we're going to be talking lots of baseball today, going through all the action from yesterday, intertwining some waiver wire talk, and we'll have talk maybe some football in the second hour, try to squeeze in some of that. And, we always talk a little Game of Thrones on this show. This is, the second-to-last episode, I think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And if last week's episode was any indication, thank God. Because last week's episode was terrible.
It was anticlimactic,
Forget that. There were so many plot holes in that. Come on. Really? Dragon in the sky can't see these ships that are waiting to ambush them? Dragon can't go behind the ships and blow them up? or on top of them? Just go straight at them? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of good strategic there. Come on. How did they know that what's-her-name was kidnapped? All right? How did they know she was dead?
Maybe a raven was sent.
Maybe a raven was sent. Bull crap. All right? And you got
they texted or something. I don't know.
And I know back in the day there, they actually fought wars very, very civilly. Nothing like that. But you took me, when she had Tyrion. And she had them all in her grasp with her whole army there.
Cersei.
She destroyed them all.
Cersei could have.
She had them all. She says, oh, no, go ahead. We'll let you go. Oh. Come on.
That was the back of her mind. She probably said, we have 2 episodes left. That shouldn't take
yes,
out right
that,
now.
I guess she wanted to make she wanted to make more money for each episode. Must have been it. That was a terrible episode. Just there's so many plot holes. There's you got to be kidding me. The dragon thing is just amazing. All right. Why couldn't you just go around them or go high where they couldn't get you and come straight down at them? Come on. It made no sense.
Well, I guess, I don't know, maybe Sean, you could add a little to this.
Made no sense.
Yeah, a dragon, can't really shift that fast, right? It's a big animal.
What fast? He could have taken his time.
Dragons could always just fly higher, too, in order to avoid any
exactly.
fire as well. Mm. Ammunition.
I can't believe she has one left.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is going to be a slow episode as well. I think, next week you're going to probably have the huge battle, I would think, but I don't know. But I thought it was interesting that the Kingslayer, had relations with the giant Night Lady. What's her name there, Sean?
Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah, and then he just leaves. Did he leave because he wanted to help Cersei? Is that, or he wants to, stop her? What do you think?
I think that it's going to be leaning towards actually stopping her, but I don't think
hero at the end.
I don't think we're going to be able to see his full plans until either this next episode or next week's episode, he's keeping his cards close to his chest. Like, he has a plan, he just isn't telling anybody about it.
That was keen insight by Sean. Think about it. We're not going to know his plans till this week's episode or next week's episode. Well, thanks, Sean. It only has 2 shows left. I'm pretty sure it'll be this week or next week.
Oh,
he should be right there with the writers.
It's got to be.
I was very disappointed with very disappointed with last week's episode. I understand, listen, all shows you have to suspend belief and all that. And, they're all going to have jump the shark moments. But really? Really? When a 2-year-old could tell you what a dragon can do? Come on. Why wasn't Jon Snow riding another dragon, by the way? That didn't make any sense. Why wouldn't... Forget it.
Hey, interjecting a little sports into this Game of Thrones conversation, Aaron Rodgers, there's some rumors that we spoke about this yesterday, that he may be making a cameo appearance in tonight's episode. They're teasing this. I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but supposedly he's a big Game of Thrones fan. Was spotted in Ireland last summer. Is such a fan that he was seen wearing a T-shirt at one point with Tyrion Lannister's famous saying, "I drink and I know things." So maybe
he left the coffee cup.
Maybe he did. Yeah, that was a big story, right? I mean, that's kind of silly.
It is kind of silly. Oh, my gosh. Somebody made a mistake, and then they want people fired. It's like, are you kidding me? You never made a mistake on your job? People fired because you left the coffee cup. And HBO already, edited it out anyway. But I don't understand that. Who cares? It's a coffee cup. I mean, it's funny. It's really what it is. It's funny. So, get over it, folks.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if Rogers is actually in the show tonight, and because he had kind of said if he ever was in the show, he'd either want to do a sex scene or he'd want to be killed off. So we'll see if he is and what's going to happen to him. So that should be interesting tonight.
I think I'd want to be killed off.
Would you want to be beheaded? How would you want
to be killed? Beheaded is pretty cool. Yeah, I think I'd like to be beheaded there. I know we are, I forget what the girl's name, the one who killed the giant in the show. Tarth, is that whatever?
The little girl, right?
Mm-hmm. The little girl. She had said that she wanted two things on the show. Her ending, either to be on the Iron Throne, which she knew was never going to happen, or to have a great death. You know, and she had a great death, so she was very happy with that.
That was a great death.
That was a cool death. Yeah, so I think I'd want the same thing. You know, a nice cool death. People will remember that. So that I think I'd be very happy with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, hey, Game of Thrones night, I think, is this Friday night at Yankee Stadium. So they're giving out a T-shirt and the actual, a replica of the throne where you could sit and take a picture of the throne. So maybe we should all go. What do you think? Take a picture on the throne.
I'm taking a different throne when I hear that, but sure, sure. Picture on the throne.
Yeah. So like I said, we're going to be talking lots of baseball, maybe interject a little football as well. But just to take a quick look around, Tampa Bay Rays still in first place, game and a half ahead of the Yankees. Watch out for the Red Sox, who have been super hot of late. And this Tampa Bay Yankee, it's a little getting a little heated lately, George. There's a little rivalry going on there, which is nice. Nice to see,
Oh, the problem is you don't want to see it because they're throwing at people. Mm. And that's what you're seeing here. Once again, this happened last year, for people who don't remember. Race threw at the Yankees. CC took it in his own hands and hit Jesus Sucre. Yeah, that's what happened. That's why CC, of course, CC his innings bonus, right? The Yankees ended up giving him anyway, but it was a great move by CC. I think he only needed like two more innings to get that bonus, and he would have gotten it. But instead, he knew he was going to get thrown out. He was warned before he went up there for that mound at that last game, that if he threw it at anybody, he was going to get thrown out. Did it anyway.
Did it anyway. Right.
And then last night, DJ LeMay, you hit a home run. Next pitch, the Luke Voit goes up and in and hits him in the upper bicep. And it was close because Luke Voit wasn't happy and CeCe was flipping out on the bench.
Yes.
It was probably a good thing that Boone, he actually made a mistake in taking CeCe out. CeCe had only thrown 76 pitches at that time, two runs in five innings, with a bullpen that needs rest. I don't know why Boone took him out. That was a mistake on his part. It ended up being where the Yankees gave up a whole bunch of runs the next inning. Granted, not all on Jonathan Holder. LeMahieu fell apart on defense. But I wonder what would have happened if CeCe would have been in there. I wonder in the back of his mind if that's why Boone took him out, too. Because the Yankees can't afford another suspension right now with all the injuries. So I wonder if that played a part in this. But then again, a five-game suspension, you could always jigger your rotation around that. Whatever.
Yeah.
But I think you have to applaud what Boone's done so far this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Him and Cashman keeping the Yankees involved here. But I thought last night he's making mistakes. Keeping Gardner in the number three hole makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's batting 200. He can't hit. It's obvious he can't hit. Especially anybody who throws hard, he's not catching up to it. But I understand you have to play him. The Yankees have no other outfielders. You got to do what you got to do. He's got to play, but he can't bat third. That's silly. He's batting eighth, ninth, whatever it is. And when these guys get healthy, he shouldn't be playing at all. There's a reason why he was supposed to be the fourth outfielder this year, not starting. So I don't understand why Boone keeps doing this. Why he keeps putting him in the three hole? It's just silly. I mean, are you not looking at batting average? What do you think? He's not hitting the ball hard. It's not like his hard hit percentage is up there and he's just getting unlucky. He's striking out over and over again. So it's just strange that Boone keeps doing this. And as we just talked about, taking CeCe out at the 5 innings and 76 pitches when your bullpen is tired. I mean, you can't do that. Sometimes you have to eat it a little bit. You have to concede the loss. Either CeCe gives up 2-3 runs, you have to concede it because, hey, we need to save this bullpen. You keep using the bullpen like you're using them, they're going to be dead by August. You don't think left hand. You can't keep doing that. So, listen, one of the hardest things for managers to do is bullpen management, man. You know, you see it over and over again. A lot of managers just don't understand that sometimes losing one game is okay if it saves you a bullpen down the stretch. You need that bullpen. And right now, you can't keep using Ottavino, Britton, and Chapman every game. You got to get other guys in there. I mean, losing Betances, yeah, that hurts. Chad Green, I expect to be recalled today. Hopefully he figured out his problems in the minors. That will help.
Great point that, you know, taking one loss could help you down the road, like you mentioned, in the dog days of August and September when you're fighting for a shot to get into the playoffs. So Aaron Hicks, right, supposed to come back tomorrow. So does that automatically put your boy Brett Gardner on the bench at this stage?
I doubt it. Hicks had a big game yesterday, so he's ready. Mm-hmm. You know, the Yankees actually thought about bringing him up before the series, but Hicks, he was the one who said, hey, I think I need some more at-bats. So that's why he's playing the three-game series, with the Rail Riders. And once again, he had a big game yesterday. He's ready. I don't think the Yankees will call him up today. I think it will be tomorrow against Baltimore. Soon they play tomorrow. It's supposed to rain tomorrow in New York as well, so that may not be a fun day for the Yankees and Orioles. Another miserable day here. But I think when Hicks comes back, I mean, you think about it, Frazier's going to play right. Hicks will play center. I think that leaves probably Gardner and Maben as a platoon in left. That would
Maben's
be my
been hitting.
That's why.
Since they got him from day one, yeah.
He's hitting. He gives the Yankees some speed. I think that helps as well. So I expect that's what they'll do, that they'll do a platoon there, which could work. You know, it certainly could work, or certainly be better than what they have. And then once again, once Stanton or Judge comes back, and we know Judge hasn't even begun baseball activity, so he's not coming back for a minimum June. You know, it's what we expected it. We're not surprised. It's a lat injury. You have to be very careful with this, or else he'll re-injure it and be out another 8 weeks. I think what's more concerning to me is Stanton. What the hell is going on here?
I think he's taking swings. Right?
We've heard this for a while now. He's been taking swings, and he's going to hit off the tee, but nothing. Remember, this is an injury that wasn't expected to be long.
Right.
And now he's looking at June as well. What is, I mean, really, what's going on here? They're being very hopeful about
it. Is this the same injury, or did he re-injure himself like a la Severino, who got hurt in the middle of recovering?
This is a different injury. Okay. His original injury, he is healed. The bicep is healed.
Yeah.
Right, that's healed. This is a shoulder injury now. Apparently that's
then he got a cortisone shot.
Ongoing, strange with Stanton. So I don't know if you're going to see Stanton. You're certainly not going to see Judge till June, and I don't think you'll see Stanton till June either.
All right. We'll continue talking some Major League Baseball. Listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Happy Mother's Day to all. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, we're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. A lot of synthesizers in this version of this Genesis song. What's the name of the song again, George?
Sean's got... Come on, he played the same song yesterday. Boo!
You don't like this
new
version?
Genesis music. No, I don't want any version of. I'm a big.
It's Invisible Touch, right? That's the song.
Yes, Invisible Touch. He played yesterday during the show as well. I would say it's not my favorite Genesis song. That'd probably be Abacab, or my favorite video is certainly Land of Confusion for Genesis.
That's a good one. Yeah,
yeah, with the Muppets and hitting Ronald Reagan nuking us all, which is kind of funny. But it's funny. Joe, do you know who the original lead singer of Genesis is?
I believe it might be Peter Gabriel.
Indeed it is. Look at that. Okay. Go, Joe, go. Yeah. Peter Gabriel was the original lead singer. It's funny when Peter left to go pursue a solo career, Yeah, the guys at Genesis, they didn't want Phil Collins with the drummer. They didn't want Phil Collins to be
with
Right,
Mason. Right.
Yeah, he was just given the job. He had to try out, and they didn't want him. It's funny how that worked out with David Phil. And Phil's coming around solo in October. Mm-hmm. I think he's going – I don't think. He's going to play at the Garden for two nights. Unfortunately, it's on Sunday and Monday, two big work days for us. Definitely can't go on Sunday thinking about Monday. But he doesn't play with drums anymore. He can't because of injuries.
Yeah, he's been sick. Yeah, past few
years. He's pretty banged up. He's pretty banged up. So I don't know. I just don't know what's worth paying the price to go see if he can't do everything he normally would do. I believe his son plays the drums now.
Hmm. There you go. All right. The Sunday, it's in October or something, right? So that's right in the heart of football season. So that's a tough one to get away from.
Definitely can't go on Sunday. That'll be impossible. Monday is a possibility. I just don't know if it's worth it to pay the price, you know, and to see Phil when he's just not quite the Phil we're used to.
Right, right. Hey, so just taking a step back, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but we were talking about, you know, the issues with, you know, throwing at batters and stuff in the Yankee game between the Yankees and the Rays. Is it me, or do you feel that there's just been a lot of attention to that, you know, over the past several weeks? You know, the D. Gordon calling out J.A. Happ for throwing at him, you know, throwing a pitch that Gordon thinks he can't control. You know, and then I just took a look at the hit by pitch numbers. They're virtually just about the same from this year to last. But I'm just trying to figure out like why it's been such a hot topic lately. Any insight into that, George, or is it just, you know, the media looking for a story at this stage?
Well, what D. Gordon's complaining about and what the Yankees are complaining about, two different things. You said it. D. Gordon's complaining about not being thrown at, but about J.A. Happ pitching up and in and not pitching with control.
Right, you know, not being able to control the pitch.
Not being able to control it. Although, once again, if you look at the review of D. Gordon, I mean, the pitch is maybe 6 inches inside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's up and in, but it's 6 inches off the plate. It's not massively off the plate. These hitters dive in. They're going to get hit sometimes like that. Not that it should happen. You don't want that, but it does. Last night was completely different. That's throwing at somebody.
Right.
You know, not that I don't think the batter did it on purpose. I think, once again, it might be a Rays organizational philosophy. Somebody hits a home run, next guy pitch up and in. But same thing, if you don't control it, you're going to get dangerous there. But once again, that's also different, though. That's a philosophy of throwing up and in. That's going to tick some people off. Like I said, you know, CeCe Sabathia's next start Friday. He pitched Saturday, so it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yankees are off Thursday, which means his next start is next Friday. Guess who the Yankees play on Friday?
The Rays.
They play the Rays. So that'll be interesting. And CeCe is the one guy, I think Tanaka's pitching for the Yankees today. He won't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, he never does. He's the Mike Mussina guy. He never does anything. Yeah, which used to be, you laugh, but I used to tick off some of the Yankees because the Yankees would get thrown at back in the day and Mussina wouldn't protect
them. Right.
You know, Mussina didn't believe in that because Mussina got hurt during the brawl when he was in his Baltimore days. And that's what he thinks that's what caused him a couple of miles off his fastball because it was a shoulder injury. So, you know, Tanaka won't do anything today, but CeCe will. So it makes you wonder if next Friday, you know, could be interesting to watch here. I don't expect anything to happen today, but next Friday, like I said, it could be interesting there to see if that's when CeCe believes, once again, got to protect my guys, especially if Tampa Bay keeps coming inside. I mean, keep in mind, Yankee batters have been hit three times in this series.
Right.
Three times. Gleyber Torres got hit. We saw Luke Voigt get hit, and someone else got hit yesterday, too. I mean, I don't know if any of them were on purpose. I truly don't think they were. But once again, if you're getting hit, you sort of have no choice. Even if you're not doing it on purpose, you still have to send a message. Stop doing this crap. You know, you got to hurt
one of
those guys.
But just in general, do you feel that just like in general, pitchers are hitting more batters? I mean, is it like a result of them having to, like, pitch inside and up to keep batters from extending those hands? I mean, you know, with so many more home runs being hit, there has to be a reaction from pitchers, right? I mean, you know, the pitchers now, hitters, they just love to extend their arms, golf that ball, get that low ball, you know, get that launch angle up. You know, do you think it's kind of am I imagining that there's more of it going on, or maybe it's just more of a hotbed topic at this stage? You know, could it just be like, you know, just in general, pitchers need to change their approach to react to this live ball and the more home runs being hit?
Well, personally, I mean, I watch more baseball than probably just about anybody. It hasn't dawned on me. You know, where there's been a lot of hit by pitches. I wasn't thinking about it, no. You know, once again, I think if you're looking to make excuses, And, you know, the weather's been miserable. The weather's been bad. It's been cold, been rainy.
Tough to grip that ball.
Right. Mm-hmm. Tough to grip the ball. You wonder if some pitches do get away. I mean, in my mind, probably, you know, 80% of hit-by-pitches aren't on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a ball got away, got hit, you know, lost control, whatever it is. I think it's only probably 1 in 5, 1 in 6, 1 in 7 HBPs that done with a purpose. Maybe not, when I say with a purpose, maybe not always to be hit, but yeah, they were trying to throw inside. They didn't care if they hit them, that sort of thing. You know, I think it's about 1 in 6, 1 in 7 are probably of that, you know, where they are hitting it. But I haven't seen a rash of hit by pitch. I'm like, oh my God, is the, you know, throughout baseball, they're thinking this. Yeah, you know, I just think it's a combination of the weather. I think you probably have a point that pitches are you have to pitch inside. Mm-hmm. If you can't pitch inside, you can't win. You just can't. You can't have all these hitters leaning out over the plate and taking away the outside corner because they know you're not going to pitch inside, getting those big arms loose and hitting the ball 500 feet. You can't have that. So you do have to be able to pitch inside, but you have to be able to pitch inside with control, especially nowadays where everybody's throwing the ball 95-plus.
Right.
This isn't like remember when you and I grew up, Joe. Anybody who threw the ball over 91, 92 was considered a speed demon.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? And now everybody does it. Everybody. 91, 92, you may not even get looked at anymore.
Right.
You know, so that's all you throw? Or you're a weakling. You're a soft thrower. You got to be able to throw the ball 95-plus to be able to consider, you know, a hard thrower. And, you know, 98 is not something that's shocking. Okay, 98, throws 98. We see that lots of times now. So it's just a different game than when we grew up. You know, Don Baylor, back in the day, used to, you know, just turn his arm and get hit and not care. He'd care now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Craig Biggio got hit a ton. Yeah, and Craig Biggio, granted, wore a lot of armor up there. Barry Bonds did, too. You know, but these guys would care now. Because they throw the ball much harder nowadays. That's probably also why we have more injuries nowadays. Because that's all these guys are trained to do. Throw the ball as hard as possible. Light up the radar gun. Get noticed by the scouts and get signed. And I think that's a combination of all why we're seeing a lot of injuries. Because that's all they're trying to do is throw their elbow, shoulder, and everything else. Their back up there trying to get that ball up there as fast as possible. I'm not so sure that's good for the game either.
Mm. So D. Gordon, got hit in the wrist by Jay Happ. It looked a lot worse than it was. Supposedly no break, so you should be back relatively shortly. But a couple of big names hitting the IL over the past couple of days. Tyler Glasnow, I think that if the season ended today, he'd be obviously in consideration for the AL Cy Young. You look at his numbers, 6-1, 1.86 ERA, 10.2 strikeouts per 9, 1.7 walks per 9. It was kind of scary for fantasy owners and just in general. I mean, left the game due to a forearm tightness. They're calling it a mild forearm strain. George, it looks like they're saying, 4 to 6 weeks?
They are. Let's hear this. This Friday night, if you watch them against the Yankee game, he early had he had a train to come out, all right? Mm-hmm. And then and that was ended up being okay. And then he snapped off a curveball to Gleyber Torres. And immediately after that, you could see him flexing his hand. Mm-hmm, and then making a fist. He's flexing. He's trying to loosen things up. Calls out from a trainer. They didn't see him. It's funny. They didn't even see him. He actually see it on the mound. He goes, oh, screw it. I'll throw. And then they finally caught on. And he came out of the game there. Forearm strain, 4 to 6 weeks. Obviously, that's probably best case scenario. You never know what's going to happen with these things. You look at 4 to 6 weeks. That puts him in mid-June, end of June. You're probably not going to see him around the All-Star break.
Right.
You know, it's the problem with Glasnow. We know the guy can pitch. He throws hard, 97, 98. His ball moves. He's got a good off-speed pitch. You imagine he probably was the leading contender right now for Cy Young, him and Odorizzi. Scary. But, and now he's gone.
Bizarro world, right?
Yeah. Right. You ain't kidding, Bizarro world. But now he's gone. Yeah, this is Glasnow's history. He's gone. I guess if you're an optimist, you could look at it this way. He was probably only going to throw about 160, 170 innings this year. Only threw 100, and I think it was 111 or 115 last year. So you do the 40-inning bump, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this takes care of it now, right? By being out 4 to 6 weeks, now you know the Rays won't have to worry. He can pitch the rest of the season and into the playoffs, assuming they make it. So you could look at it that way. That I say if you want to put on the optimist point of view,
I like this, George.
Well.
Yeah.
Hey, I just point things out for you, okay? You take it for what it's worth here. But he won't be shut. What I'm trying to say is he won't be shut down in August or September now. Or he won't be skipping starts.
And there's no tear, supposedly, right? And so that's another positive thing too. It was interesting, like you mentioned, where he motioned to the bench and they didn't notice him, and he was like, exactly like you said, all right, it looks like he was gonna just go ahead and keep on pitching. Which, who knows, if he would have went, they would have pitched, then we could have been talking something even more serious. So we'll keep our eyes out on Tyler Glasnow. Jose Altuve left the game Friday night with a hammy injury. Initially was called day-to-day, but now he's on the IL. So that means late miss Diaz to fill in for him at second base. Altuve was mega hot to start the season. Right now, batting .243, 9 home runs, 21 runs batted in, just one stolen base. And we didn't think, George, we had spoken about Altuve in past shows. We were kind of concerned about whether or not he was going to keep on stealing bases. You know, he had that knee issue last year. But past 22 games, I didn't realize he was slumping this badly, George. He was batting .169 with a .289 OBP and a .299 slugging. So, like I said, got off to a white-hot start. He's looking like an MVP again. But past 22 games, big-time slump.
Yeah, it was a big time slump. It certainly made me wonder if something else was bothering him again, just like last year. That didn't seem to be the case, but it does make you wonder when you see these guys going to these kind of slumps here. Now, I don't believe he's been placed on the IL yet, but let's face it, the Astros don't have another important game to play until October. Mm-hmm. And they really don't. So they can play it very safe here with Altuve. If I'm them, I automatically put him on the IL. Why not? Mm-hmm. You're going to miss 3-4 days anyway. Just take the extra week off. Let's make sure, especially with a groin, hamstring, anything like that. I don't want to take a chance he pulls it or tears it. Let's put him on the IL, get him healthy.
Yeah,
don't need him
he
right
is
now.
Actually. They did place him on
there. They did put him on there. Yeah. So good for them. Yeah. To me, that's almost automatic with a 10-day IL. Almost. Mm-hmm. If you're going to miss 3-4 days anyway, on the IL.
Right.
Especially for a team that, like I said, that's not a joke. They don't have another important game till October. And they're going to win that division by 20 games. That's a bad division, and they're a great team. You know, I think they're the best team in the American League. So I think they did the right thing here. I think the fantasy owners, he was slumping anyway, so once again, you should be happy. Now you get a replacement for next week, and you worry about him for the week after next. Maybe being on the IL will heal whatever else what might have been bothering him. At the very least, he wasn't hitting anyway. So you get him the week off, it should work. It can't be any worse for you, right? It can't. Mm-hmm. So I think this could be, I don't want to say addition by subtraction, but in that sort of, in that realm here, where you don't have to worry about starting out too, but you can start a sub for him, because I don't think on my fantasy team, I don't think I'd have the nerve to sit him. You know, what kind of backup could you possibly have where you want to sit him for Altuve? I mean, you could have a great backup. You could. Maybe you got Jeff McNeil, someone like that, who's hitting .400. Fine.
Or Polanco.
But, Polanco. Well, he should be starting for your team. But odds are you don't. So now you start the backup with more impunity. You don't worry about it. At least the backup, you assume, would do something and give Altuve his rest.
Mm-hmm. Look at you, all positive and then using big words like impunity. I love it. I love it, George. Good job.
Yeah, I got a word of a day calendar. I try and work it in.
Hey, Mike Clevinger, some good news out of him, at least he's close to throwing a bullpen session. Seems to be ahead of schedule, and on a personal note, I need him back because I have him and Jameson Taillon on a team a little weak on starting pitching to start off with, and those two guys I was really counting on. But a little optimism when it comes to Mike Clevinger, thankfully.
Yeah, he's finally, I guess you could say, on his way. Right, where he's beginning the rehab process here. Lord knows the Indians need him back. Pitching hasn't been their problem. They can't hit. This is a team that just can't hit. We knew this coming in. They were going to pitch well and not hit. And they need him back. They need Clevinger back. They need to find another bat, which they're not going to do. We started all winter long. They wouldn't pay for a bat. But with Kluber out, Clevinger out, it's put a little bit of a strain here. They called up A.J. Cole yesterday, and he didn't pitch very well. Only pitched the one inning and gave up the winning hit. So Clevinger's playing catch. He'll go to rehab. Once again, I think you'll see him Memorial Day, maybe a little bit after that.
Yep. You are the closer guru. Wanted to get your take on Rafael Iglesias telling a reporter that he doesn't like the way the Reds have been using him. And since he came out and complained, he's actually had a couple of saves. But, you know, the Reds back, you know, at the start of the season said they weren't going to be using him in more of a traditional closer role. What do you think about Rafael Iglesias mouthing off a bit?
I think you should shut up because you make yourself sound terrible. Mm-hmm. You're annoyed because they're asking you to pitch in close games. That's what you're saying, because that's what the Reds have done. I mean, he wants to be pitched according to the save rule, because that's all he cares about, then it saves. What he's saying is, I only care about saves and making money. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. That's what I mean. Shut up. Don't you know? You don't say that. You want to say this to the manager? You let your agent take care of this. You don't say it, because you sound terrible. Right. I mean, listen, the save rule, and I am the closer guy, right? I write the closer report, but I write it so many times. I hate the save rule. Because it's a dumb rule of, oh, you get a save for pitching, you know, three outs of a ninth inning against the seventh, eighth, and ninth batters with a three-run lead. It just doesn't matter. Sometimes the game is won in the seventh inning, you know, where that's where it's runs on first and second, one out. And that's where you need your ace reliever to come in and get that out, or in the eighth inning. And he doesn't want to pitch in those situations. He only wants to pitch in the ninth inning. Granted, some of those could be big outs, you know, 4-3, a 4-3 lead to get you three outs against the 1-2-3 batters, but some are not. And he's annoyed when he's using the eighth inning, not the ninth inning. So that's what he's complaining about. And I said, this makes you sound terrible. Because the saver rule is just dumb. It really is just dumb. Managers should use their best relievers when the game is on the line, not according to the save rule.
There you go. Coming right from the closer guru, George Kurtz. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today. More baseball. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Blue the Cult Godzilla. As we come back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Sports Today. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Like this song there, George. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel. There's another Godzilla movie coming out in a few weeks. Any interest, George? The coming attractions, actually, I guess, you know, the coming attractions to any movie could look fantastic, but
they better.
right? I guess what's happening is there's going to be like another King Kong movie. They're going to remake King Kong versus Godzilla. You know, as a kid here in the New York area, Channel 9 on Saturday mornings used to show all these monster movies. You know, and I'm not just talking, you know, the Universal Studios monster movies like, you know, with Frankenstein and Dracula, but, you know, we'll call them the Titans because that's how they're referring to them in this incarnation of movies. You know, the big monsters like Godzilla and Rodan and the flying turtle, Gamera, right? He used to shoot fire out of his mouth. Maybe that's what they need in Game of Thrones, a flying turtle. I don't know. But Sean, are you? I mean, you're a lot younger than me and George. Are you familiar with like Godzilla, the old Godzilla and King Kong movies?
I don't really remember them that well. I saw them as a kid, but I have seen the last of the newer Godzilla flicks, which came out about like 5 years ago. I thought it was okay.
Is that with Bryan Cranston?
Yeah, that's the one. I thought it was okay. Yeah, yeah. A little too much focus on the human characters, but and not enough Godzilla.
Right, right.
But I'm hoping that this new movie, which is the sequel to that movie, will be able to change that, and especially since they're adding more monsters here too. That I hope it is good. I really do. But ultimately, though, the other thing I am a little worried about is that things are going to be filmed a little too dark to see. Kind of like that you know, in Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was the, yeah, the, that episode a couple of weeks ago. I think I mentioned this last week. You know, my daughter, we were watching her on on DVR. She's like, "You remember to record this in high def, right? Because it was just, you know, parts of it you just couldn't make out." But so that's a good point there, Sean. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll throw a couple of dollars and go see the new Godzilla movie, but we'll see. So back to baseball. Let's start breaking down a couple of games from yesterday. Red Sox beat the Mariners 9-5, game with lots of fantasy implications, lots of fantasy goodness going on here. So the Reds, George, these Red Sox, you know, we talked about Tampa Bay and what a hot start they got off to, and the Yankees hanging on despite all their injuries. Red Sox now 21-19, four games back. They've won 10 of 12. And more importantly, for fantasy purposes, their hitting is getting started. It's hot again, right? 7.4 runs per game during that span. You got Chris Sale, first four starts, 8.5 ERA, 16.7 strikeout rate. Batting average against was 311. His last four starts, pitched to a 1.74 ERA, strikeout rate just under 42%, George, and opponents are batting just 165 against him in his last four. So it looks like he's figured things out. You know, who knows what the heck was going on with him? You know, there was stories about him that he was actually physically ill, dealing with some kind of virus or whatever. But that's a big sigh of relief from fantasy owners, no?
Well, it's why we always preach patience in baseball. It's a long season. You can't overreact to a couple of weeks. You just can't. The Red Sox got out to a slow start for whatever reason. They weren't pitching very well at all. And combined with them not hitting great back then, yeah, they played poorly. Mm-hmm. You know, now everything's starting to click in. You know, David Price, by the way, should be had a bullpen yesterday. Should be back. Yeah. I mean, if he might maybe misses one more start at most. You know, so he'll be back. That's not a long-term injury. Eovaldi had the stitches taken out of his elbow. He can be back probably in June as well. So they're getting healthier. Good for the Red Sox. You know, we knew they were going to hit. It's just a matter of time there. They still got some issues to go over here. Moving Chavis now possibly to the outfield because you want to placate Pedroia. You know, put him at second base when he's healthy. It's just silly to me.
And, I agree. I
mean, come on. Pedroia is nothing anymore. He's just nothing. You know, once again, you're doing what the Yankees did with Jeter. You still want to play the guy at the end of his career. You know, sort of similar with the Yankees doing with Gardner, too. Gardner's not the player that Pedroia ever was, but it's the same thing. The veterans getting the benefit of the doubt over and over and over again, which is kind of silly, but it's what they're doing here. Chavis isn't hitting anymore either, which also plays a part in this. And also because Jackie Bradley's not hitting at all.
Yeah, bat 149, yeah.
Right, so that I guess they figured, hey, if we can move Mookie Betts to center field or Benintendi, then we can put Chavis in the outfield. You know, it's I get it. You know, I don't think I'd go that direction, especially since Chavis is not even a second baseman; he's a third baseman. You know, so you keep jerking this guy all around for a guy who is a top prospect. Interesting how you're going about things here. Not so sure I would go in this direction, but it is what it is for the Red Sox. They have things to work out here, but they're a very good team. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. People were all worried about this. The American League is not strong enough to keep the Red Sox out. Even the Yankees with all their injuries, you know, the Yankees can survive. Same thing, because the American League is just not strong enough. And even the Yankees with all these injuries have still been able to beat teams, which is really scary when you think about it. So it is what it is. It is what it is. Red Sox are a good team. They weren't going anywhere. You know, Sale has figured out whatever was bothering him, he's figured it out. The Red Sox have figured it out. They're going to be a good team. Patience in baseball is always required here. And we were telling people, if you wanted to acquire Sale, you know, that time was going to come to a close, and now it's closed. You can't acquire him cheap anymore. You know, he's back up to full price. So good luck with that.
Yep. As for Bradley, what's kept him in the lineup over the years has been his big-time defense, and you need that as a center fielder, not helping himself with that 149 batting average. He had Rafael Devers 3-for-4 yesterday, batting 400 in his last 16 games. Yay for me. And for a lot of fantasy owners out there, you and I had talked about that. You know, we thought he'd have a pretty good year this season. But 400 in his last 16 games, 2 home runs, 13 runs, 17 runs batted in. Mitch Moreland hit his 12th home run yesterday. Leads the club, 29 runs batted in his 36th game. Had 15 home runs in 124 games last season. So, hey, live ball. But this guy always was good for, you know, 20, you know, lower 20 home run numbers. J.D. Martinez, 308 batting average. Are you concerned with the 5 home runs that he's hit? Recently broke a 62 at-bat homerless streak when he hit his 5th home run. He's missed some time here and there this season. A little bit of a back issue. When you look at the advanced metrics, they suggest he's going to be okay. You know, that expected slugging percentage is somewhere like 170 points higher than what his real-life slugging percentages. Any concerns about the power outage with J.D. Martinez, or you think he just figures it out just once that back issue goes away?
Nah, he'll be fine. Once again, you want to trade him to me? Go ahead. I'll take him. No problem. I'll take him gladly. He'll be just fine. Not worried about him not hitting his power. It's the Northeast. The weather's been miserable here today. Miserable all season long, pretty much. It's not gotten warm at all. Have we had 170-degree day? Everything's in the 60s. Today, like I said, today's miserable. Here in, it's what, love? High 40s and rainy today, and they'll probably play through it. You know, it's not raining enough to cancel the games. They'll play through this. And it's not conducive to good hitting. It's not. Wife got lucky, by the way. They did cancel those soccer games.
All right,
so,
good.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to her. But you know, it's not conducive to hitting in baseball. And by the way, you know, someone like Jackie Bradley, you know, who is an excellent defender but can't hit. And when you say, well, he's in the line because he can play defense, no, he's not. He's in the line because they have nobody else. That's the way it looks. In today's game, there's no such thing as being in line if you have good defense. No such thing. That went out a long time ago. You know, you have to be able to hit somewhat. You know, if you can't hit it all, there's no more Mark Belanges, you know, guys who just go, oh, great defenders, but, you know, but Dave Concepcion's. That's not the way the game's played anymore. You know, you have to be able to hit somewhat or else you're not going to play. You know, for the Red Sox, they just don't have anybody else. But that's why they think if Chavis can play the outfield respectably, he'll be certainly a negative on defense. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But if he can do it respectably, they'll take the hit on defense. They will, to get a better bat. Like, that's just the way it is in today's game. You cannot be a 0 on offense and a 10 on defense and then get in the lineup. You just can't. You need to. You can be a 10 on D and a 4 or 5. That'll get you in there. You know, you think about Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner's a better hitter than Jackie Bradley. Not as good a defender, but everybody wants him out of the lineup because he can't hit. He's just not the hitter he used to be, but he's certainly better than Bradley is. It's just the way it works. You have to be able to hit somewhat because everybody remembers you can't hit. People sort of forget that you're a great defender until you make the great play, and you may not make a great play every game. It's different. It's everybody's going to see you bat 4 times. So that's the problem here. Bradley's only in it because they don't have anybody better right now.
You bring up Mark Belanger, man. You make me think of my old baseball cards, man. So I was looking at his stats. It ended up with a .228 batting average. Played 18 years for the Baltimore Orioles. You're right. I mean, just a guy that basically a glove out there, infielder. So that's interesting.
Different ages, Bucky Dent and all those guys. Just don't you don't see that. It usually is the shortstop that we think about with that. Catcher to somewhat. And once again, there are no better catchers. You know, there's a reason Gary Sanchez is still a catcher because he can hit. You know, you'll take the negative on defense to get his bat in there because his bat as a catcher is a major advantage. And it's like, well, you know, fantasy football, we always drafted Gronk early because it gave you such a major advantage at tight end over everybody else. Same thing with Sanchez, a catcher. Yeah, we know he's bad on defense, but he can hit a ton. It gives you a major advantage in fantasy to get him in your lineup.
The other side of this game, Red Sox beat the Mariners, like I said, 9-5. Mariners, I mean, I'm sure you've heard this stat over and over again, 13-2 to start the season. Since then, 7-20. And when you talk about, you know, some cold bats, man, you look, you know, I love Mitch Haniger. He's been leading off past couple of games, batting .227, but Jay Bruce, you know, 12 home runs, but batting .192. George, Dan Vogelbach, remember how hot he was, but now he's batting .170 for the past month. I mean, the only guys still hitting in this Mariners lineup are Domingo Santana and their catcher, Omar Narvaez. It's just I mean, I guess they were obviously never as good as that 13-2 start, but are they as bad as the 7-20 run now?
Maybe not as bad as 7-20, but closer to 7-20 than 13-2. All right, this is not a shock. All right, we knew they were rebuilding. Hell, the Mariners knew they were rebuilding. That's why they traded everybody away. They told us they were rebuilding, for crying out loud. All right, so this is not a shock at all. All right, that they're playing poorly. They don't have a. I mean, let's face it. Why is Felix Hernandez still in the rotation? I mean, why? He's terrible. He's not. I mean, he's not King Felix anymore.
George,
he's barely Felix.
He got his 2,500 strikeouts now.
Yay!
Career.
Good for him. I mean, but he shouldn't
Hall
be
of Famer.
In the, he shouldn't be in the rotation. Maybe.
No, I don't know about that. I just wanted to get the rise out of you if I say that.
No, but he shouldn't be in the rotation anymore. That's the bottom line.
I
get it. They're doing it because they probably want them to get that 2,500 strikeout, and because the fans still love him. And I get all that, and it doesn't matter. You don't really have a great minor league system yet to plug somebody in. You know, Justin Sheffield's not ready yet. He's close, but he's not ready yet. But there's no other reason for him to be there. He's not going to win you any games. I mean, the Yankees beating out the Red Sox. You knew the Red Sox were going to beat him up. You know, I'm on the Cam yesterday. You know, Cam Stewart and I. And we talked about the Red Sox. And we both like the over in the game. We both like the Red Sox -1.5. And then Seattle goes out and scores 4 runs in the first inning. And we're like, it's like, oh, crap. And I'm like, no, relax. The Red Sox are going to score. All right, you knew the Red Sox were going to score. The question is, would Porcello settle down? I was never worried about the Red Sox scoring. You know, I said this on the show. Was never worried about the Red Sox scoring. My worry was more about Porcello. Could he be a pain in the ass all game and not give you? Was he going to give up 8-9 runs too? It ended up working out great. Porcello did settle down. He pitched great, and the Red Sox scored 1,000 runs, so you didn't have to worry about it. But that's the way against Felix Hernandez. Was never worried that the Red Sox wouldn't score runs. He was going to shut him down. That wasn't going to happen. He's just not that pitcher anymore. So like I said, but the Mariners, they are. Good for them to get to the hot start, but they're close to the 7-20 team than they are the 13-2. They'll make some more trades too. Edwin Encarnacion will not be there by the deadline. He'll be moved to a team that needs a right-handed bat, maybe a DH, power bat, or off the bench, whatever it might be. They'll try and move Bruce too. That could be tougher, but he's once again still a good lefty bat off the bench. You know, he probably shouldn't be playing every day anymore, but he still has power. So he can be moved to a team as well, and they're going to keep doing this all season long. This is a team that's likely to get worse on the field than better until their younger players are ready to perform.
Yep. Good analysis, George. And we have 2 or 3 minutes till we go to commercial. Tigers and Twins played a doubleheader yesterday. Tigers won the first game 5-3. Twins came back, won 8-2. May continue this conversation across the break, but Twins, best winning percentage in baseball at this stage. Do you think that they? I mean, I think we had spoken on this show in terms of, you know, how like almost like a changing of the guard in the AL Central. Do you think the Twins could hold on? I mean, we've spoken about Jake Odorizzi, Jose Berrios, now a bona fide ace there. Nice mix of youth and some veteran presence there. Nice to see Marwin Gonzalez be able to play that second game. If you saw the play Friday night where Nico Goodrum hit him in the face with his knee, that play at first base. But do you think that Minnesota is for real at this stage?
Well, I think it depends on how you define for real. Do I think they're a contender for the pennant? No, I don't. But do I think they're a contender for the division? Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I thought they were contender for the division coming into the season, so I'm not all that surprised that they're where they are. I mean, look at the Twins. They're going to hit. We know they can hit. Okay, and that they should be able to hit all season long. I don't think that's going anywhere. Their pitching staff, let's see what happens. You know, let's see what happens. Can Odorizzi keep this up all year long? History tells us no. Yeah, but right now he's pitching great. Kyle Gibson.
Went to pitching camp last in the offseason. Supposedly he had some issues when the third time around in a lineup, they would get to him, and supposedly they figured things out. So we'll see. But you're right. History tells us no.
Sure, yes. Let's see how that works out as the season rolls along here. Pitching camp. Yay. Martin Perez, I mean, once again, pitching much better than he ever has before. Pineda started off well, and not so much lately. Yesterday had a quality start, but a couple of home runs cost him. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. It's another team, though. I wonder what happens when injuries hit, and they will hit. You know, how will they overcome that? You're going to see that with the Rays, too, right? How do they handle now that Glasnow's out 4 to 6 weeks? So these teams, like not big market teams, when injuries hit and their depth gets tested, that's when we'll find out what kind of team they really are.
There you go. Williams Astudillo, one of my favorite players on the Twins, should be coming off the IL today. When we come back, we'll talk more baseball. Fantasy Sports Today.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.